The Haynes Moose Hunt closes early for the third consecutive year, and a special meeting is set to discuss a 400-acre proposed timber sale on the Chilkat Peninsula. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Polls are open for another couple hours in the Skagway and Haynes municipal elections. Residents are voting for a mayor, assembly members, and school board members in both communities. Skagway voting is open until 8 p.m. at City Hall. Haynes voting continues until 8 p.m. at the A&B Hall and Klahini Valley Fire Hall. KHNS will air special election coverage tonight beginning at 8 p.m. The Tier 2 moose hunt is closing early for hunters in the Chilkat Valley. The season was set to end October 7th, but the Alaska Department of Fish and Game issued an emergency order for the closure at 11:59 p.m. tonight. As KHNS's Abby Collins reports, 26 moose were harvested in the Haynes area this year.
Well, we always like to let it go as long as we can for the hunters.
That's Carl Koch, a wildlife biologist with Fish and Game.
But we've met the upper end of our management objective, and so we're pretty happy about that. We've a lot of meat for the community. A lot of hunters have been pretty successful.
This is the third year in a row the Chilkat Valley hunt has closed before the cutoff date. It was an especially rapid harvest last year, closing after about a week. Koch says this year there are a couple reasons for the emergency order. One he already mentioned. Fish and Game set a harvest limit of 20 to 25 bulls. That's been met and exceeded. Koch says the low number of spike fork moose harvested also factored into his decision. Only one spike fork animal was harvested near Haynes this year.
If you assume that the harvest is an index of what's actually going on with the population, meaning that the number of spike forks in the harvest is similar to the number of spike forks running around out there, then that's a little bit important because spike forks are yearling bulls. So it could indicate there's fewer yearling bulls out there.
Koch says this is one of the lowest harvests of spike forks Fish and Game has seen since implementing antler restrictions. Since September 15th, hunters harvested one spike fork, four 50-plus inch, and 18 three-brow tine bulls. Three sublegal moose were taken. Koch says, though they aim for no sublegal animals, three is about average. The harvest started fast this year. 14 moose were taken during the first few days of the hunt. Koch says that has a lot to do with weather.
Obviously, weather played a role. You know, we had a fast beginning, and then that second weekend, the weather was nasty, and everything kind of slowed down. And then this last weekend, weather got improved again, and we had three more come in over the weekend and one yesterday.
Overall, Koch says the season went well. Fish and Game will do its annual aerial survey to count Haynes area moose when snow starts falling in the Chilkat Valley. Last year's count was reassuring. It was the highest number of moose tallied in 10 years, indicating a stable population. In Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
The Haynes Assembly is holding a special meeting this week to discuss what the borough manager has called a politically motivated proposed timber sale. The University of Alaska is offering 400 acres of Haynes area land for timber harvest. The land is located on the Chilkat Peninsula and abuts many residential properties. The university is advertising the sale at this time because of the threat of new local restrictions. In the spring, the Haynes Planning Commission realized the Mud Bay Rural Residential Zone does not explicitly allow or forbid resource extraction. The commission has been brainstorming potential restrictions over the last few months. That worries university land managers who want to capitalize on their property. Money from a timber sale would go to the university's trust programs, which fund student scholarships. At its last meeting, the Haynes Assembly voted unanimously to explore potential land swaps in the Mud Bay area. Assemblymember Heather Lendy floated the idea of a temporary moratorium on resource extraction in Mud Bay, considering the Planning Commission's work. Lendy and fellow assembly members Ron Jackson and Tresham Gregg requested a special meeting this week to talk about the proposed timber sale. The assembly members requested the Planning Commission and borough attorney participate. The meeting is set for Thursday at 6 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Part of the discussion may be held in executive session. Comments and bids on the Chilkat Peninsula timber sale are due by October 23rd. At a meeting Thursday, the Skagway Assembly will continue its discussion of a new tidelands agreement. The draft Memorandum of Understanding outlines a new 15-year lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. At its last meeting, the Assembly made some changes to the document, including the provision that the City and White Pass would be joint cruise terminal operators. Right now, White Pass oversees cruise logistics. If the Assembly does approve an MOU, the agreement will go to voters. Borough Manager Scott Hahn says the goal is to hold a special election on the issue in December or January. A draft request for proposals that would initiate work on a new floating dock is also on the agenda. Cruise industry leaders have urged Skagway to build the infrastructure by 2019 in preparation for larger classes of ships. The new White Pass lease would clear the way for construction of the floating dock, and both parties would help pay for it. If the lease is not approved, it's uncertain what would happen with the dock. The Assembly will also consider a solid waste rate hike. A utility rate study in 2015 recommended the city raise fees. Utilities are subsidized by sales tax and cruise passenger tax. If the Assembly approved the adjustment, solid waste disposal rates would go up 9.5%. The meeting is set for 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. It will be the final meeting before newly elected Assembly members and a mayor take their seats. The loss of state jobs is hitting Southeast Alaska hard, and tourism has overtaken fishing as the region's largest private industry. That's the word from a new report released last month detailing the region's economic booms and busts. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The region's total wages and job numbers are down, according to Southeast Alaska by the Numbers, a report covering the 2016 calendar year. Melani Shivens wrote the report for the Southeast Conference, an economic development organization. She presented her findings at its annual meeting in Haines. She said the biggest hit is to government jobs. That's where about 30% of the region's 45,000 jobs are. Add to that more than a third of its $2.2 billion in wages.
A lot of people say, well, people, you know, they're retiring or they've left their job and it's not being replaced. It doesn't matter if the actual individual leaving the job isn't impacted. It ends up being a huge hit to our economy.
Shivens said Southeast lost 250 state jobs last year and three quarters that many so far this year. That's a total of 750 lost jobs over 3 years or so, a nearly 15% drop.
The loss of 750 state jobs is equivalent in terms of wages to a large mine being shut down in Southeast Alaska. It's actually slightly bigger. It's more wages than if we shut down one of our mines in Southeast Alaska. So it is an enormous economic hit.
Mining jobs, by the way, are up, but only slightly. Southeast tourism continued to grow in 2016. The number of jobs went up 5%, providing nearly a quarter of the region's business earnings.
Our visitor industry, in terms of wages, is now our most important private sector industry for the first time ever.
Tourism's relative economic standing rose, in part, because the region's seafood industry declined. Shivens said fisheries jobs dropped by more than 10% and earnings went down by almost twice that amount. The fisheries business is cyclical, so 1 or 2 years may not predict a longer trend. The report shows hits to businesses on land and sea.
In 2016, shore-based seafood facilities processed 30% fewer pounds of seafood than in 2015, and Southeast Alaska's state fisheries tax revenue fell by more than 50%, so these losses are also just directly impacting our communities.
Shivens says Southeast lost residents in 2016, as it did the previous year. Around 650 people moved away.
Juneau really bore the brunt of those losses. So if you look at Juneau, they had their third largest population decline in the history of that community because they're really ground zero for state jobs and state wages.
The biggest population increases were in several small Prince of Wales Island cities, which ranged from 10 to 30% growth. Gustavus, Skagway, Tenneke, Cluckwan, and Wrangell also picked up new residents. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Haines.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.